world and allow her the space she needs to feel confident and secure in her sleep world. Keep these principles in mind as you listen to the chapter for your baby or child's age. Remember that good sleep goes beyond a quick fix, although we'll give you plenty of those too. It's part of your family's philosophy and will last over the years and through many twists and turns in your child's development.
Chapter 3. Baby 0 to 4 months. Healthy sleep habits. Your baby's sleep, the goal of the first 4 months. Sleep is something that new moms and dads think about, ask about, crave, and compare notes on constantly. Newborn schedules are so erratic and the quest for a full night's sleep so pressing, it makes sense that sleep is the most popular topic of conversation. It probably doesn't help that, how's she sleeping? Is every friend, family member, or stranger's favorite question. In the first 4 months of your baby's life, she may not sleep through the night, but we'll show you how to set the stage and encourage your baby's sleep to gradually grow longer and longer. The goals of this chapter are to, number one, establish good sleep patterns and the right sleeping environment in your home. Number two, give you the tools to support your newborn's growing self-soothing skills and explain how to strike a balance between soothing and encouraging self-soothing. Number three, to avoid common pitfalls, like repeating habits automatically, that interrupt your baby's natural sleep progression. A key idea in this chapter is the curious stance. Very young babies need a lot of help from parents to calm their developing little nervous systems. That's why we naturally rock and sway as we hold them in our arms. But over time, they gradually become able to take over this role of soothing, which is self-soothing, to fall asleep. The problem is that when parents get in the habit of automatically repeating soothing actions over and over, like bouncing or rocking to sleep, as time goes on, it begins to mask the baby's budding abilities. On the other hand, a curious parent watches closely and notices moments when the baby is okay on her own and doesn't need help. The curious stance is the path to knowing when to soothe your baby while gradually over time stepping back to give her space so she can show you what she's capable of. Whether you have a newborn who sleeps 5 hours at a stretch or one who wakes up every 2 hours around the clock, we guarantee that soon your baby can sleep well. We're going to help you build a good foundation for healthy sleep no matter what your baby's starting point. Your baby's sleep timeline, what to expect. Newborns typically sleep 16 to 18 hours a day, made up of frequent naps and stretches of nighttime sleep. A newborn's sleep is naturally erratic because her nervous system and her internal clock are immature. In other words, new babies are supposed to sleep in fits and spurts. This can truly be a shock to the system for parents who are used to being in control of when and how long they sleep. We know from firsthand experience how grueling this is, and how painful it can be. Some would even say it feels like torture to rise from a deep sleep to feed and soothe a newborn. When you're in the midst of it, it can feel like it will never end, that your deep craving for sleep will never be satisfied. It will. As the newborn months pass, your baby's sleep skills grow and the family will eventually sleep well again and have a consistent routine. Every baby's sleep development is different, though. Some tuck into long stretches of sleep within the first few weeks after birth, while others continue to wake up every few hours for months. If your baby is premature, sleep can take more time to unfold, but your baby's sleep will catch up as the effects of her adjusted age fade. It's important to know that you can't expect a very young baby to adhere to a schedule, nor do you want her to, because feeding on demand is the way to establish successful breastfeeding. It's best to follow her lead and allow her body time to mature into a regular sleeping pattern. Day-night confusion. When you bring your tiny bundle home from the hospital, she may sleep for periods off and on around the clock without any distinguished pattern of day and night. This is typically referred to as day-night confusion, the result of your baby's undeveloped circadian system. When she was nestled tightly in the womb, your baby got signals about the time of day from you, because chemicals like melatonin were rising and falling with your circadian rhythms. But after birth and without these chemical signals coming from mom, a newborn's biological clock on its own is very immature, a fact that makes for unpredictable sleep and restless nights. It takes months for your baby's internal clock to mature. This is a normal developmental process. It will happen, it just takes time. You can encourage your baby's grasp of day and night by exposing your baby to indirect sunlight during the day. To best signal his internal clock, venture out early in the day. Try for a 10 a.m. walk or sit on the porch at this time. Just remember not to keep your newborn in direct sunlight. Letting him know it's morning. When your baby wakes up for the day, sing him a song and open the shades to let in the sunlight. Gently waking your baby during the day to feed at least every 3 hours. Keeping him in the living areas and activity during the day and in a dark, quiet room at night. Lowering the lights in the house at night, even if your baby is awake. A particularly challenging time for many parents can be 4 to 6 weeks as babies wake up from their newborn sleepy state. This new alertness, which you can also see in your baby's ability to smile, for example, combined with an as-yet still immature nervous system, can make sleep elusive. Your baby might seem extra fussy around this period. Some parents feel like during the first 4 weeks of their baby's life, they run on adrenaline. And after it wears off and their baby's sleep is still erratic, they feel truly sleep deprived. Around 8 weeks, many babies begin to sleep for one long stretch at night. This could be 4 to 8 hours. This usually happens in the beginning of the night, while babies often continue to wake up every 2 to 4 hours for the rest of the night and take frequent daytime naps. Most 3 or 4 month olds are capable of sleeping at least 8 hours continuously, but some still wake up every 2 to 4 hours, and some who are sleeping long stretches actually start to wake up more frequently. At this point, fussiness can be a signal that your baby is tired. By roughly 5 months, your baby is capable of sleeping 11 to 12 hours at night. As you'll learn in the next chapter, this may include feedings. Most doctors agree that by 6 months of age, babies are capable of sleeping 11 to 12 hours without eating. Some parents choose to wean all feedings at this point, while others keep feedings in place. If your baby is still eating at night beyond 5 or 6 months, these feedings can be brief, and he can return directly to sleep so that his sleep and yours will be almost continuous. The magical 7 p.m. bedtime. It's common in the first weeks of life for newborns to be out in the living room with their parents until late in the evening, but somewhere around 6 to 8 weeks, you may notice that your baby tucks into a longer stretch of sleep, starting around 6 or 7 p.m. This is because her circadian system is maturing and beginning to send her little body signals to fall asleep roughly with the sunset. If you see this stretch of sleep in the early evening, it means that your baby is ready to call it a day, roughly around sunset. In Chapter 8, you will hear about circadian rhythms and how your baby's internal clock matures. In fact, the witching hour that so many parents see in the late afternoon and early evening is often a sign of overtiredness. During the day, and especially in the evening, you'll start to see that your baby's discontent is a signal that she'd rather be sleeping, even though it can still feel difficult to get her to sleep because her body is dysregulated. 7 p.m. is a magic time. If you try to keep your baby up, it can backfire because she becomes overtired and less likely to sleep well. On the other hand, an earlier bedtime often begets longer and longer stretches of sleep over time. As your baby's internal clock matures, she is likely to start waking up very early. Given this natural tendency for early rising, putting her down at 7 p.m. gives her the best chance of getting the 11 to 12 hours of sleep that she needs. Your baby may not seem tired, but that's okay. The optimal time to put your baby down is not when she's yawning or fussing, but before this, when she's quietly cooing or playing. Madeline's earlier bedtime makes for longer sleep. Liz. Madeline started trying to nap from about 6 to 7 p.m. each night. So when she was about 3 months, I was able to convince my husband to put her to bed earlier. We also made her room more cave-like. The first night, she slept 11 hours. I heard her a few times on the monitor and watched her move around to get comfortable, and once saw her bring her hands to her mouth to self-soothe, but each time she quickly went back to sleep on her own. It worked so well for us, I wish I had tried it earlier. Before the change, she was going to bed pretty late, 10 p.m. or later some nights, and only sleeping 7 to 8 hours. Start moving towards this bedtime at least by the time your baby is around 10 weeks old. If your baby's going to bed later than 7 p.m., you can move bedtime back 15 minutes or less every night, or simply put her to sleep right away at this time. After several nights, she will likely adjust. While you're thinking about bedtime schedules, keep in mind that after the first 8 weeks or so, your baby will be ready to sleep approximately 90 minutes to 2 hours after waking up from her last nap. So take her final nap time into consideration. You can gently wake your baby in anticipation of her needing a 90-minute awake period before bedtime. Up to about 3 months or so, many babies can occasionally nap until 6 p.m., be gently roused for their bedtime routine, and go right back down at 7 p.m. This is good to remember because at this age, naps are very erratic. Does this mean you're homebound after 6 p.m. from now on? No. Lots of parents can easily tote a sleeping newborn baby into a bustling restaurant. Just be aware that your child's internal clock is developing, and an earlier bedtime is a good idea. By 4 months, she'll probably do best with her own sleeping place at home for a consistent bedtime. 3-month-old Leo moves from 9 to 7 p.m. bedtime. Stephanie: when I first learned about the 7 p.m. bedtime, Leo was about 3 months and going to bed at 9 or 9:30 p.m. We tried moving bedtime to 7 p.m. right away, but he wasn't ready yet. A week later, though, I started to see him naturally wanting to go to bed earlier and earlier. Now he goes to bed at 7 p.m., and sometimes even a bit earlier if it's been a busy day. He is a happy 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. sleeper, with usually one feeding per night. Baby bedtime, the case for watching the clock. Establishing a set bedtime enlists the forces of your baby's powerful internal clock. Even a small nightly fluctuation in bedtime can lessen this effect. When you keep a regular schedule, your baby's ability to self-soothe, fall asleep, and stay asleep is greatly enhanced. Bedtime is an aspect of sleep with which we urge you to be very consistent. It might feel like mechanical adherence to the clock, but remember that your baby has an internal clock that wants things to come at predictable times. Bedtime routines. Remember from Chapter 2 that babies are natural pattern seekers, and they learn routines very quickly. One of the best ways to harness this pattern-seeking power is with the right bedtime routine. The consistent soothing motions that you go through right before bed will become a potent cue for your baby to wind down and shift into sleep mode. Put your bedtime routine in place before you think your baby needs it. At about 6 to 8 weeks is a good time to start, because the predictability helps set the stage for her growing ability to self-soothe. Sample bedtime routines. These are just examples. You will find your own special steps. For example, some parents include a baby massage, others have their own rituals. Just be sure you choose something soothing rather than activating, and keep the same order with a calm tone. Sample bedtime routines for 0 to 2 months. Bath, massage, PJs, feed, songs while you sway, bed. Sample bedtime routine for 3 to 5 months. Bath, PJs, feed, baby-led play, books, songs while you sway, bed. Sample bedtime routine for 5 to 7 months. Bath, massage, PJs, feed, books, say goodnight to objects in the room, songs while you sway, bed. The soothing repetitive routine. Your bedtime routine should be 30 to 45 minutes long, between 0 and 4 months, and consist of things like a bath, infant massage, pajamas, books, feeding, songs, and bed. If your tone is warm and calm, the steps of the routine are predictable, and the end of the routine is clear, your baby will learn this and her body will expect the transition to sleep. We like to say that you can stand on your head as the last step in your bedtime routine. It really doesn't matter as long as you do it the same way every night. Always end with the same song and keep your last words to your baby like, night, night, I love you, consistent as well. Separate feeding from sleep. Try not to feed your baby as the very last part of the routine, because it can quickly create a strong association between drinking milk and falling asleep. This sleep association is one of the most likely to interrupt the process of your baby turning inward to soothe herself to sleep. You can look for opportunities to loosen this association now, and it will create more space for your baby's growing ability to self-soothe down the road. Singing a song, the same one every night, between feeding and putting your baby into bed is a great way to end the routine instead. Try putting your baby down and then shushing or patting a little as she falls asleep, instead of lowering her into her sleeping place already asleep. This way, when she wakes during the night, she won't be surprised to find herself in bed. As you know, all babies are different. At this age, some will need to be fed to sleep. Just remember to stay curious and be willing to try putting your baby down a little awake. If your little one still relies on being fed to sleep when she's 5 months old, we'll show you how to change this pattern in Chapter 4. Slow down. Your baby is a sponge. Your baby has an astounding ability to pick up on your mood and energy level. The more centered and relaxed you are, the easier it will be for your baby to feel exactly the same way. It doesn't mean that you have to keep everything completely quiet. We don't want you to be tiptoeing around for the next 5 years. Just imagine sending a signal of calm, rather than the disquieting cue, just please fall asleep. Take some deep breaths yourself, a good way to slow your nervous system down. What you do in your routine doesn't matter as much as how you do it. When we lead parenting groups, we often have parents share their routines with each other. One day a mom described how she spread a swaddle blanket on the bed as she began her routine. As she demonstrated it for the group, her voice got soft as her arms smoothly spread the blanket out. There was a collective deep breath and a sigh in the room. Some moms started to yawn. Don't underestimate the power of your baby's sponge neurons or mirror neurons. These are brain cells that are affected by the mood and behaviors of those around us. Babies are exquisitely attuned to our intentions and internal states, meaning whether we're activated or relaxed. So slowing down can help enormously. In fact, studies show that when caregivers holding their babies have heart and respiratory rate changes, babies' rate changes right along with them. Baby-led play. By 3 months of age, babies really like 10 to 15 minutes of quiet, baby-led play as part of their routine. During this time, get down on the floor with your baby and just watch and follow her play. It's a chance to shift from you doing things to your baby, the way daytime often goes while you're feeding, bathing, carrying her, and so forth, to your baby being in charge and showing you what she's interested in. As your baby feels your attention, her brain becomes primed for self-regulation, which will help her sleep. In the first 4 months, baby-led play is very simple. It might just mean mirroring her expressions and following her gaze. Try it and see if your baby likes it. Do the last steps in the room where your baby sleeps. Move into the room where your baby is sleeping for the last steps of the routine. Dim the lights, slow down your voice and movements, and keep things quiet. Light, both natural and artificial, affects sleep for all ages, so dimming lights for an hour before bedtime, including avoiding TVs, computers, and all screens, is helpful to all of us. Your individual baby. The ingredients of your bedtime routine will depend on your baby. Some babies will clearly indicate at a certain point that they no longer want to lie still for a massage, or want to get into their bed sooner and get comfortable while you sing the last song or say goodnight. Some parents sing the last verse as they're walking out of the room. Julie. When Jack was a baby, he loved to be sung to right before sleep. By that time, I was so tired, I would lie on the floor and put my feet on the edge of the mattress, and I would sing to my toes. I don't really know how we ended up with that zany ritual, but it's a good example of coming up with your own. He knew which was our last song, after which I got up, said, "Night-night, sleep tight, see you in the morning light," and quietly left the room. Baby massage basics. A little soothing massage gives your baby's body and nervous system a fabulous path to falling asleep. Massage reduces stress levels, supports well-being and bonding, boosts immune function, and promotes brain development. Lay your baby down on a warm, flat, safe surface where you are also comfortable. Put a little pure vegetable oil, such as sweet almond oil, into your palms and rub your hands together to warm the oil. Make eye contact with your baby and let him know you're starting the massage. Wrap your hands around one of his thighs and pull down, one hand following the other. Use a gentle milking motion to massage down the length of both legs. When you get to the little feet, use your thumbs and trace circles over the soles and then gently pull on the toes as you slide your fingers off the end. Place your hands flat over baby's chest and stroke outward in big, slow circles. With one hand flat across baby's chest, stroke downward to his thighs on both sides. Take up each little arm and repeat the milking motion from the shoulder to the hand, rotating the wrists a few times in each direction. Trace circles on baby's palm with your thumbs and gently pull on each finger, sliding off the end. Gently roll baby to tummy and trace circles on either side of his spine, moving up and down from neck to waist. Finish with long, firm strokes all the way from shoulders to feet. Babies generally like a gentle but firm touch, rather than a super light, ticklish touch. Follow your baby's cues and stop if he's had enough. It's normal for babies to resist massage as they become more mobile and active. You can build it into another part of your day if and when it no longer helps him wind down at bedtime. Your baby's environment and soothing tips. Your baby's environment can support or interfere with sleep. Along with his physical environment, your baby's feeling of being connected to you is key. It's good to know that you cannot spoil your baby. Not only does his nervous system need your responsiveness and soothing, he is naturally geared to monitor whether he's cared for and safe. Hold, comfort, and make lots of physical contact with your baby. This helps him internalize a sense that he is loved and that the world is a good place. White noise. Your baby is used to the muffled sounds he heard in the womb and may be soothed and calmed by white noise that emulates it. Instead of using constant, loud, and monotone static white noise, use nature sounds like waves or rain, which have slight variations. You can also use a fan. A little moving air is also consistent with safe sleeping recommendations on a low or moderate volume. Keep the noise going all night rather than using a timer or a device that shuts off. Once your baby is about 4 months old, white noise is no longer needed for soothing, but you can certainly keep it as a way to mask noises from inside and outside the house. Light. Light is an important cue to help your baby sleep and wake, so use light to your advantage. Put up shades or curtains in your bedroom or wherever your baby is sleeping to mask early morning light. Even the first hints of sunrise can send alerting signals to your baby, so a very dark room gives him the best chance of sleeping longer. You can achieve this by installing blackout shades, putting up temporary darkening shades, using blackout fabric, or even just taping garbage bags over the windows. When your baby wakes up for the day, make sure that his brain and body know it's daytime. Gently pull back the shades, sit on the porch in indirect sunlight, or go for a walk in the morning to help this developing internal clock. Talk to him and sing a good morning song. Walking, rocking, and carrying. Your baby feels soothed by your warmth, the feel of your skin, and the motions as you carry him. Tote him around, wear him in a sling, and allow him a lot of time in contact with you. Walking outside is often very calming to babies because of the motion, the change of environment, light, and fresh air. Swaddling. Newborns have a startle reflex that regularly sends their legs and arms flying. For safety reasons, we put our little ones down on their backs for nap and bedtime, but this means that the jerking motion can really disrupt sleep. Snug swaddles keep limbs hug towards the body, and many babies sleep better this way. Most babies do well being swaddled until they're 2 to 4 months old. There are also some babies who never like being swaddled and do just fine without it. Swaddling how-tos. Remember to always put babies down on their backs to sleep. Keep the room cool, 65 to 68 degrees Fahrenheit. Use breathable fabrics and don't overdress a baby for sleep. Keep the sleeping surface free of any loose blankets, pillows, or positioners. Stop swaddling when your baby can roll over at all in either direction, since it poses a suffocation risk. Stop swaddling when your baby can kick out of the swaddle, but just make sure he can't kick out of the swaddle because it was put on too loosely. You can now use a blanket sleeper, a sleep sack, or simple cotton pajamas. In order to keep baby's hips healthy, leave plenty of room for baby's knees to spread apart, bend up, and move around in the swaddle. Just as in the womb, this position allows the hip joints to develop naturally, preventing loosening or damage to the soft cartilage of the socket. It's fine for the upper part of the swaddle around the arms to be a little snugger. Swaddle with your baby's elbows bent and arms folded on the chest. This mimics their position in the womb, ensures healthy joint development, and is calming and regulating. Babies have a natural instinct to work their fingers and thumbs towards their face for self-soothing. This swaddling position gives them every opportunity to do that. When your baby is ready for unswaddling, you can go cold turkey or start by leaving one or both arms out for a few nights. The transition will be a little bumpy, whether you do it right away or wait a few weeks. It's better to err on the side of safety and unswaddle as soon as baby can roll. Some parents find it hard to let go of swaddling because they've always linked it to better sleep, but coming out of the swaddle is a logical step in sleep development. The end goal is for your baby to find his own comfortable sleeping position, so having the freedom of movement is key. It may disorient him at first, but trust us, this is a step in the right direction. Everything you do to encourage movement and agility will have a positive effect on sleep, because when your baby chooses his own body positions, he'll sleep better. It may be on his tummy, with an arm outstretched, knees tucked under, bum up in the air. You won't know until he has the chance to practice. This is why we like to see babies graduate into long-sleeved, long-legged cotton onesies with feet, with similar blanket sleepers as a second layer during cold seasons, instead of a sleep sack, which can get twisted or hamper movement. Do everything you can to ensure that once your baby can roll, he's free and can move at will around the crib. Now he can shift around and resettle during the night, just like the rest of us. Many babies have a brief period of wild rolling and traveling around the crib when this ability first emerges. As with all sleep regressions and developmental surges, it's temporary, and it will subside as the novelty wears off. 3.5-month-old sleep improves post-swaddle. Carla. Cece struggled to get her arms free of her swaddle at 3.5 months. We considered wrapping her even snugger, but she seemed to want the opposite. We tried unswaddling, and almost immediately she started to suck her thumb and soothe herself to sleep. Her sleep improved dramatically. Even though she wasn't rolling yet, she'd figured out her own soothing technique. The need for sucking. Many babies have a strong need for sucking, which is separate from their need for nourishment, so you can encourage either thumb or pacifier to satisfy this need and improve the capacity to self-soothe. The current American Academy of Pediatrics recommendation is to use a pacifier for bedtime and naps, but you don't need to reinsert it if it falls out in the night. Which is better, pacifier or thumb? Truly, they each have their pros and cons. Pacifiers. Pacifiers take a lot longer for your baby to be able to insert on her own, but they're much easier to take away when the time is right. Some moms worry that this will interfere with breastfeeding, but research does not support this idea. Babies know the difference. Thumbs. Thumbs are readily available, easier to insert once they learn how, and they don't get lost in the crib. The downside is it can be trickier to stop thumb sucking down the road. Although most children will naturally stop thumb sucking if it isn't given any attention or judgment. your nighttime station. It will help both you and your baby if you can prepare the items you'll need overnight and put them in a convenient place before bed so you don't need to do any extra work when your baby wakes up. Put diapers, wipes, an extra set of pajamas, a glass of water, your feeding pillow, and anything else you need for nighttime awakenings right next to your bed. Have a dim nightlight next to you and keep your feedings as unstimulating as possible. Try to resist chatting with your adorable bundle at this hour of the night. If your baby is within arm's reach, you may not even need to get out of bed to take care of him and put him back down again. Safe sleeping practices. Here's a summary of the American Academy of Pediatrics guidelines for safe sleeping. These are best practices for lowering the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS, as well as suffocation and other sleep-related deaths. Always put your baby on her back to sleep for naps and nighttime. Room sharing without bed sharing is recommended for at least the first 6 months. Sleeping in the same room with parents has been shown to lower the risk of SIDS. Always use a firm sleeping surface. Your baby's mattress should be firm. Avoid a sagging or soft mattress or one that has been handed down, heavily used, or old. Car seats and other sitting devices are not recommended for routine sleep. Keep soft objects and loose bedding out of the bed. This includes bumper pads and any kind of wedges or positioners, which can up the risk of suffocation since babies can scoot and position their faces against it. Your baby's sleep surface should be a simple fitted sheet without stuffed animals, pillows, or blankets. Once a baby can roll even a little bit in either direction, it's time to stop swaddling. Don't put a hat on baby during sleep due to the risk of overheating. Breastfeeding for moms who are able is associated with a reduction in the risk of SIDS. Exclusive breastfeeding for at least the first 6 months is recommended. Offer a pacifier at nap time and bedtime. Having a pacifier while falling asleep has been shown to reduce SIDS risk. You don't need to go in and reinsert your baby's pacifier after it falls out, however. Avoid overheating. Keep the room temperature cool. Around 65 to 68 degrees Fahrenheit is ideal. And do not overbundle your baby. Have a little moving air in the baby's room right around the level of her face. An air purifier or a low fan works well for this. Avoid smoke exposure, alcohol, and drugs during pregnancy and after birth. Do not use home cardiorespiratory monitors, home monitors, as a strategy to reduce SIDS risk. Infants should be immunized in accordance with the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommendations. Supervised awake tummy time is recommended to facilitate development and minimize the occurrence of flathead. Sleep solutions, encouraging self-soothing. Self-soothing is the number one skill your baby needs for good sleep, both now and in the future. Many sleep problems for children of all ages have to do with trouble self-soothing, so it's great to understand and support this ability early on. As you know, newborns need a lot of soothing from us. Remember, they've been nestled, carried, and bounced naturally for 9 months. In fact, the vestibular sense, or the sense of motion, is one of the very first senses a fetus develops. At just 10 weeks after conception, when a baby is still smaller than a fig, she begins to perceive movement. So she has spent almost all of her precious little life feeling the rise and fall of your footsteps and other behaviors throughout the day. Human babies are born in a very immature state with nervous systems that require a lot of input from caregivers. This is why we wrap small babies in our arms or hold them over our shoulder while we walk around the house, rock them in gliders, and tuck them into slings. The first few months are also the time when soothing and responding to baby's cues are essential. As you do this, your baby builds trust in you. As she builds trust, she will naturally feel more relaxed. This is a secure attachment. Babies who feel this security will explore more, develop naturally, and become more independent over time. Babies who are responded to with sensitivity during the early months are gradually able to turn to their self-soothing abilities. Being able to self-soothe to sleep means feeling confident in your own sleeping place and able to get comfortable and drift off. In the first months of life, your baby will go from needing a lot of external soothing, shushing, rocking, and so forth, to gradually being able to take over this job herself. When she starts to self-soothe, she might do this by tucking her arms under her chin, moving her head from side to side, or making little noises to get comfortable. Whatever she figures out as her own personal technique. It's really sweet to see babies find their own special ways of self-soothing. As the parent of a newborn, you get to watch this process unfold. As you nestle her, pat, feed, and bounce her, you can also look for chances to let her flex her budding sleep skills. Did you know that babies, children, and adults all wake up periodically during the night as we go through our sleep cycles? When you compare babies who are good sleepers with those who are bad sleepers, which ones do you think wake up more often? The answer is, both groups wake up with the same frequency. It's just that the good sleepers are practiced at self-soothing, so we don't realize how often they wake up. Babies' sleep cycles are about 60 minutes, compared to an adult's 90-minute cycle. So those who can't soothe back to sleep have many times during the night when they may potentially call out for help. Scaffolding and sleep. As you hear the following list of strategies, keep this idea of scaffolding in mind. Scaffolding is a concept used in child psychology that helps parents know how much to help versus how much to back off and allow their baby or child to struggle a little while practicing a new skill. Imagine you, the parent, are the scaffolding, and your child is the building. You know that scaffolding around a growing building gives just enough support to allow the building to grow and is gradually taken down as the building gets stronger. In the same way, you are ready to give your baby just enough support to grow and progress while allowing her to struggle a little as she gets stronger and shows her new budding skills. Number one, put your baby down awake. There's nothing more natural than your baby dozing off in your arms. As moms ourselves, we both remember it as one of the sweetest experiences of new parenthood. And let's face it, especially if you're breastfeeding your newborn baby, falling asleep in your lap is practically an unstoppable force. Soak up this beautiful time. The hitch is that as your baby reaches 3 months of age, the learned association between feeding, rocking, bouncing, or swinging, and falling asleep becomes stronger. And your baby becomes very aware of and reliant on this pattern. Gradually fading these sleep associations in the early months, when a baby's awareness is lower, can be very effective and easier than doing it later. For this reason, we recommend that you look for opportunities to put your baby down drowsy but awake. Do this as often as it works for you, so that your baby has the space to fall asleep by himself if he can. Going to bed slightly awake also helps your baby sleep much better through the night, because he won't need as much help from you to settle back to sleep every time he briefly wakes, which all babies, children, and adults do throughout the night as they cycle through stages of sleep. Imagine from your baby's perspective what it's like to be put down in his crib or bassinet already asleep. He drifts off warm and nestled in your arms, feeding or rocking, a few hours later or even a few minutes later. He wakes up alone, on a flat surface, in the dark. Understandably, he cries out because he's thinking, wait a minute, something's wrong. Where am I? Come back and make all that happen again so I can go back to sleep. A baby who is put down in his sleeping place, whether it's a bassinet, a crib, or otherwise, drowsy but awake at bedtime is more likely to resettle and sleep longer at night. On the other hand, a baby who's placed into bed already asleep will often call out for parents at night because he finds himself in conditions he didn't go into knowingly. After your baby is about 2 months old, he'll be drowsy after not more than 90 minutes of awake time. So watch the clock, swaddle, and place your little one down when his eyes are still open. Often the first nap of the day is the easiest. If your baby cries for more than a minute, you can use the soothing ladder to calm him and then try putting him down drowsy again. You can do this over and over until he falls asleep. The more you do it, the sooner you'll begin to see progression. Over the course of a week or so, you may see the number of times your baby needs you to soothe him decrease until he is used to being put down awake and doesn't need your help at all. This technique is much more effective with young babies, under about 4 or 5 months. It takes a lot of patience initially, but it can really pay off. Pick up, put down. Joanne. The first time I put my newborn Dane down a little bit awake, he fussed and I had to pick him up and calm him 25 times until he finally fell asleep. The following nights, the number of times decreased slightly, until after about a week, I could put him down awake and he would soothe himself to sleep. If your baby doesn't fall asleep on his own yet, it's not a reflection on his future as a bad sleeper. He will get there, we promise. A baby who doesn't fall asleep on his own in the first 4 months will still be a great sleeper later on, if you employ the techniques in Chapter 4. What your baby wasn't able to do today, he may surprise you by doing tomorrow. That's why we ask you to take a curious stance. Number 2. Loosen the feeding and sleep association. This tip is related to putting your baby down awake. During a feeding, before your baby falls asleep, you'll see her go from drinking milk to merely sucking or pacifying at the breast or bottle. If you pay attention to when swallowing, which is slower, steady with clear swallows, turns to pacifying, which is faster, more fluttery, little to no swallowing, you can gently take her off the nipple, lay her in her bed, and either allow her to fall asleep without sucking or help her suck on a thumb or pacifier if she prefers that. This may not work right away, but if you repeat this many, many times, your baby slowly but surely becomes able to do that final step of drifting off to sleep without feeding while she does it. This helps her sleep longer at night as well as take longer naps because she doesn't search for a nipple each time she comes into a light sleep or partially wakes up. You may hear advice saying to go ahead and let your baby fall asleep while feeding, just wake her up before you put her in bed. But it's much easier on your baby to catch her before she falls asleep. We adults know how hard it can be to try to fall asleep twice. Number 3. Discern your baby's sounds. Babies are noisy. Why didn't anyone warn you about the grunts, squawks, and gurgles that your baby produces at night? One of the keys to promoting your newborn's sleep development is to listen and discern your baby's nighttime sounds. Talking, whining, fussing, grunting, grumbling, kicking her legs, even pivoting and traveling around the crib, these are all normal noises and movements your baby will make as she figures out how to get comfortable and fall asleep again. These sounds don't necessarily mean, come and get me, I need you. So when you hear them, try to resist jumping to pick your baby up. Give her some space to work things out on her own. Your baby will wake up multiple times a night, as will your older child, and as do you. What matters is whether she can get settled and fall asleep again on her own. Wait, listen, and see if she can figure it out. During REM sleep, which is also called active sleep, babies tend to twitch, move their arms and legs, make sounds, and breathe irregularly. They can even open their eyes. Roughly 50% of infant sleep is active, so that can make for a lot of normal noises at night. However, if your baby constantly snores, gasps, or snorts while sleeping, tell your pediatrician about this so he or she can make sure it's not a sleep disorder such as sleep apnea. Does baby need you, or should you give him space? Jane. I was convinced my 3-month-old was a problem sleeper. He was waking constantly. But in a baby group one day, another mom described how, when she started really listening to her baby's sounds instead of rushing in, her baby's sleep began to stretch out naturally. I came into the group next week saying, never mind, my baby is actually a great sleeper. It was me who was getting in the way, interrupting during all those grunts, squawks, and squirms. It can also help to keep in mind that not all cries are hunger cries. With a newborn, this may take some time to discern. If your baby has fed within the last 2 hours, this is a great opportunity to practice other methods of soothing. Building a repertoire of ways to calm your baby helps her become more flexible. It also loosens the association between food and comfort. Number 4. Use the soothing ladder to avoid overhelping. If your baby wakes up at night and needs you, be curious about the least intrusive thing you can do to help her fall back asleep. Use the soothing ladder method to respond to your baby at night. The soothing ladder method. This method works for the first 4 to 5 months. The earlier you start, the better. When your baby wakes up in the middle of the night, use the soothing ladder to respond to her with the least intrusive means possible. By doing this, you respond to your baby, but you avoid overhelping. You start at the bottom of the ladder and spend roughly 30 seconds trying to soothe her, moving up a step if it doesn't work. Maybe one night your baby is calmed by you patting and rubbing her back, but another night all she needs is a soft song or shushing. You won't know unless you start from the bottom and take small steps up. Don't swoop in with the big guns, which is usually feeding, right away. During these early months, if your baby wakes up and you think she's due for a feeding, you'll go through the steps of the soothing ladder fairly quickly, only spending about 10 to 15 seconds or less on each step before feeding her. By doing this, you're building space for your baby to grow into when she's eventually ready to drop that feeding. The goal is neither to rush into dropping a feeding nor to continue assuming that she needs to eat beyond the age when she really doesn't need it anymore. Take a curious step back, just far enough to let her show you. The soothing ladder steps. Create your own ladder based on what you know about your baby's soothing needs. A typical sleep ladder for a young baby is 1, your presence in the room. 2, the sound of your voice talking, singing, or shushing. 3, replacing the pacifier and or the lovey. 4, your touch, patting on the back, rubbing head or tummy, hand over the top of her head, and so forth. 5, jiggling your baby in the bed. 6, picking her up to gently rock her until she's soothed but still awake. And 7 is feeding her. When your baby makes a sound at night, listen first. Remember that babies are noisy, but they aren't always telling you that they need you. If you decide that your baby isn't just making normal rustling or squawking noises, but is truly saying, come in here, go in and use your soothing ladder. Start with 1 on your list and spend around 15 to 30 seconds on each rung of the ladder until you get to the one that works. Do not feel compelled to go all the way to the top of the ladder each time. You can stop when you notice your baby settling. For example, you hear your baby cry out, and you determine that it's a come here cry. You go in and shush her, but she keeps crying, so you find her lovey and pat her on the back. If she starts to calm down, keep patting and shushing rather than picking her up. It's better for your baby to fall asleep in her bed than to fall asleep back in your arms. If she's in her own bed, the next time she wakes, she won't be surprised to find herself there. We've heard so many parents say things like, I need to go straight to the yoga ball and bounce her. But when they create the soothing ladder, they're amazed to see that a step further down actually works. Each time this happens, it creates a new learning opportunity for the baby. New pathways in her brain are formed, practiced, and strengthened every time she has these experiences. Babies change so fast. What they need 1 week, they may not need the next. The soothing ladder is the way to track sleep development and to follow your unique baby in each moment, rather than using a prescribed cookie-cutter strategy for all babies. Evan's Bouncing Sleep Association. Ava. As Evan reached 2.5 months, I was beyond exhausted. The amount of time I had to sit on the ball and bounce him back to sleep every night grew longer and longer. When I started using the soothing ladder with him, I was truly astounded to find that Evan only needed a few shushes, or maybe even a little back rub, not the full bouncing routine I thought he did. Over time, I rarely climbed past the first few rungs, and he began to do more soothing on his own. 5, don't let your baby cry for more than a minute. For the first 4 months, don't let your baby cry for more than roughly 1 minute. 1 full minute might feel like more than that because it's so hard to hear our babies cry. The squawks and grunts are fine, but if your baby is truly crying, attend to her. By meeting your baby's needs early on, you're building trust and a feeling that the world is a good place. In turn, your baby will relax and her stress level will remain low. It's important to know that you can't spoil your baby. Remember, this is how you build trust in the early months. Many parents, using this idea, discover that their baby predictably cries for about 30 to 45 seconds and then falls asleep almost every time. For these babies, crying is a form of stress release. Number 6, daytime independence. Look for moments during the day when your baby is enjoying hanging out by himself. Maybe he's fascinated by a shadow on the wall, marveling over his own fingers, staring at a tree outside the window, making baby pterodactyl sounds, or practicing squirming and rolling. What's the most attuned thing you can do when your baby displays such contentment on her own? Absolutely nothing. Just wait, watch, and wonder. There are two sides to a balanced attachment. Proximity and soothing on one side, and your sensitivity to when your baby is just fine on her own, or maybe even struggling a little bit, on the other. When you attune to those signs of independence during the day, you're cultivating the same skill for nighttime. Remember that your baby's internal attunement grows over time in the moments when your baby is separate from you. This is when he can practice exploring and building confidence. Number 7, transitional object. More commonly called a lovey or a blankie, this is an important aid for falling asleep and self-soothing for most babies. It's helpful to think about it in two stages. Stage number 1, keep it with you and your baby as much as possible, especially when you're cuddling and feeding, so it has your scent and it's associated with comfort. You could even sleep with the lovey for a few nights so it smells like mom or dad. Stage number 2, once your baby shows signs of being attached to the lovey, like rubbing it on his face, feeling it with his fingers, or grasping it, typically between 5 and 12 months of age, keep it in the crib for sleeping only, so she has a special way to soothe herself that evokes sleepy feelings. Keeping the lovey in the crib and using it only for sleep protects its potency. Babies are often very happy to get into their bed and see their treasured lovey waiting for them. A lovey is typically a small blanket, cloth, or unstuffed animal. You can introduce the lovey anytime you want, but generally the sooner the better. For those babies who do attach to their lovey, the benefit to sleep is significant, and it can continue to help with sleep for years to come, both at home and when you travel. It's a good idea to have multiples on hand. Number 8, tummy time. The connection between tummy time and sleep is huge. Regular tummy time will give your baby the strength and coordination she needs to roll, rotate, tuck her legs under her, or anything else she needs to do to get into her comfortable sleeping position. When this happens, it's a whole new world for your baby because she gets to choose her favorite position instead of being stuck in the one you put her in. Lots of babies gravitate to belly sleeping, so once they can roll, they find their way to this preferred pose, and they sleep for longer stretches. It may feel unnerving to see your baby on her tummy for sleep, but once she can make it to this position on her own, it's okay for her to stay there. Tummy time gives the neck a workout, strengthens the trunk, and gives your baby more reaching and looking practice. But tummy time may help with more than just motor development. Encouraging motor skills is also known to help babies with social development, since the stimulation to the motor pathways in the brain seems to encourage growth in other areas as well. Seeing the world tummy down and head up also helps your baby to connect the sounds in her surroundings with their exact location, rather than being stuck just looking at the ceiling. That's also why carrying your baby is good for the brain. Being in a bouncy seat or a car seat all the time blocks her ability to turn, look, and see where all the noises in her world are coming from. Benefits of tummy time. Rolling and moving help enormously with sleep. Babies who can move get to choose their favorite sleep position. Now they can get comfy like we do at night. Babies spend a large portion of the day on their backs for safe sleeping, and in car seats, strollers, and other devices. All that back time needs to be consciously countered with belly time. Being on the tummy strengthens the muscles of the neck and back. The tummy position reduces the risk of developing a flat head. Pressure on the tummy increases neurological organization, a fancy way of saying that it helps your baby to regulate and feel comfortable. Being on the tummy aids in future fine motor skills as little hands push and grow strong. Tummy time is the first step in a natural progression to rolling, sitting, crawling, standing, and eventually walking. On the floor, whether on her back or belly, unaided by devices, should be a baby's default position. Tips for tummy time. Aim for 10 minutes per waking hour. If your baby can only last for 30 seconds in the beginning, just put her down frequently for those short bursts. Instead of plopping your baby down directly on her tummy, start by placing her on the floor on her back. Look at her, smile, say something like, "I'm going to help you roll to your belly," and roll her gently from the hips. With repetition, she'll learn what's coming. If her arm gets stuck underneath her, lift the hip on the same side of her body to allow her to pull her arm out. The idea is for your baby to participate in moving to her tummy instead of feeling like she's been stuck there. If your newborn is hopelessly face-planting, use a small rolled-up receiving blanket under her chest at armpit level, with her arms reaching forward. Feeding pillows are not a good idea, as they give too much support and keep baby from the workout she needs. Your baby's favorite thing to look at is your face. So what better way to entertain her and grow tummy time than to get right at eye level with her? Sing, make funny faces, and let her know that you know it's hard. Her second favorite thing is to look at her own face. So use a tilted mirror on the floor. See what happens when you put two babies face to face to gaze at each other. Some tummy time can be right on your chest as you lie flat. You can press your palms into your baby's and help her push. It's okay for your baby to put her head down during tummy time. Think about how big and heavy her head is in proportion to her body. That's a lot of gravity working against her. You can help your baby learn to turn her head to one side and to the other. This will help her sleep easily on her tummy when she learns to roll. Keep it positive. If you've done all you can to coax your baby into staying a few more seconds, but she is clearly distressed, it's time to roll her back onto her side or back and pick her up and try again in a little while. Don't lose hope. Tummy time progression often feels like a flat line, followed by an epiphany when the baby bursts into loving it. Eventually, this may become her favorite play position. Flat head and torticollis. Many newborns have somewhat lopsided heads. This can occur while passing through the birth canal or after birth as a result of spending too much time in one position. Torticollis, where baby's head is tilted or twisted to one side, usually because the muscles on one side of the neck are tighter, can also be the cause. Although being on their backs until they can roll to their tummy on their own is absolutely the safest position for sleep, you can help avoid flat spots with some simple tips. Caution. Don't use rolled-up towels or positioners in the crib to get your baby to keep her head to one side. Never rest your baby's head on a pillow or other type of soft bedding. These increase the risk of SIDS. Always start by checking with your pediatrician if you have concerns about your baby's head shape. Change direction. Place your baby on his back to sleep, but alternate the direction your baby's head faces. Place your baby's head near the foot of the crib one day and the head of the crib the next. Hold or wear your baby. Holding or wearing your baby when he is awake will help relieve the pressure on his head from swings, flat surfaces, and car seats. Frequent tummy time. With close supervision, place your baby on his tummy on the floor frequently during waking hours. Feeding time. Alternate sides when feeding baby a bottle. You will do this naturally while breastfeeding. Get creative. Position your baby so that he will have to turn away from the flattened side of his head to look at you or to track movement or sound in the room. Move his crib occasionally to give him a new vantage point. Varying a baby's head position is typically enough to prevent or treat flat spots. If the flat spot doesn't improve within a few months, your baby's doctor might prescribe a special headband or molded helmet to help shape your baby's head. Naps and the 90-minute awake window. Your baby's naps. In the first 4 months, your baby will sleep in short and long stretches during the day, as short as 5 minutes and as long as 2 to 3 hours. Little baby naps typically start out luxuriously long. The tug of sleep is so strong for a very small baby that 2 to 3 hour siestas are common. Enjoy this. Shower, eat, read, take a nap yourself. Don't worry too much that your newborn is sleeping heavily during the day, because it typically doesn't correlate with restless nights. Just make sure that your baby is exposed to some indirect sunlight and